Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. From rebounders to goalposts, find everything you need to play your best at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's a very good evening and welcome along to another edition of The Score. Exactly 6 minutes past 7 o'clock. Coming up on tonight's programme shortly, we'll be speaking with Gavin Cullen, the Coghill Celtic manager, to look ahead to the FAI Cup fixture away to Waterford tomorrow night. Plus, the former Fin Harps captain will also be giving us his thoughts on this week's games for both Fin Harps and Derry City. We'll continue our Olympics countdown as athletes depart this week for their respective training camps ahead of the start of the games next week. We'll be catching up with those who are heading to Paris in the various capacities. This evening we'll be speaking with Athletics Relief Squad member Kelly McGrory of Tyrconnell AC. And we'll hear from Richard Kerr, who will fulfil a lifetime dream at the weekend at Brands Hatch in England as he competes for the first time at the top level in the British Superbike Series. It's all on The Score this evening. Before we go to the football, let's go to the golf. Shane Lowry leads the Open Championship on day one at Royal Troon as it draws to a close. The 2019 Claret Jug winner is 4 under par with 6 holes to play. Patrick Carrington is 1 over. He has 3 holes remaining. Galway amateur Liam Nolan has made the turn on 2 over. Darren Clark is 6 over. But Rory McIlroy's campaign is over, just as it started, in wet and blustery conditions. The world number 2 shot a 7 over par round of 78 today. McIlroy knows that he has a job on his hands if he is to even make the cut.
Yeah, you know, just have to, as I said, have to do a better job in those conditions. And yeah, I need to go out there and play better and try to shoot something under par and, you know, at least be here for the weekend, if not try to, you know, put myself up the leaderboard a bit more and feel like I have half a chance.
That's Rory McIlroy. Not a good day in the first round of the Open for him, but it's going the way of Shane Lowry at the moment. He is the leader. Let's turn our attention to football, and there is of course European action tonight. Derry City are kicking off against Bruno Magpies 2-0 down at 7:45 at the Brandywell Stadium. We'll actually be going to Martin Holmes around about kickoff time tonight at that fixture. But up first was Shelburne, and they have safely progressed through to the next stage of qualification in the Europa League Conference. They've played out a 1-1 draw in Gibraltar with St Joseph's, which means the tie has finished 3-2 in aggregate in favour of Damien Duff's Shelburne side. Donegal man Mark Coyle starting in the middle of the park once again for Shells. Sam Bowen equalised for them on 34 minutes, and that has proved to be the goal which has sent Shelburne through to the next stage of the competition, where they will take on FC Zurich. Well, three North West sides are facing into FAI Cup second round action this weekend. 8 days after their league encounter, Fin Harps return to Turner's Cross to face Cork City in the Cup. And it's a busy few days for Derry City as well. Tonight in Europe and an FA Cup action on a Sunday against St Pat's. FAI Junior Cup winners this year, of course, are Cork Hill Celtic. They have League of Ireland opposition in Waterford tomorrow evening. The Inishowen side are facing a long trip south to the RSC grounds for the fixture to look ahead to that game and the other ties involving Derry and Fin Harps. And now joined by Coghill Celtic manager Gavin Cullen. Gavin, a very good evening and welcome to the programme.
Hi, thanks, Oisin. Good evening.
And Gavin, before we look forward to your match tomorrow night, we'll maybe just touch on Derry City, who of course are playing this evening. 2-0 down against Bruno Magpies. It was a bit of a disaster in the first round for them last week. This evening they are of course kicking off in just over a half an hour's time, 7:45 at the Brandywell. Listen, Derry City can score goals, but I suppose they know tonight that they can't concede and they need to get three if they are going to progress in normal time anyway. So they know what they have to do.
Yeah, they know what they have to do. Obviously, last week was a big shock, losing the game in Gibraltar. I think we all thought Derry would go over there and do the business and get home and get through the next round. It was a major shock, and it will be a major shock if they don't turn this tie around tonight. But I still believe they can, and at the Brandywell tonight, I think they can score 3 goals. Obviously, they don't concede again is important, but it's a huge factor in the remainder of their season to get through in Europe, so it is as well.
And it's a huge test of character of the squad too, so it is, Gavin.
It is, yeah. Obviously, last week's result wouldn't have been expected, and you could tell by the interviews from the players and from Rory himself that they were very, very disappointed, and disappointed for the fans that travelled and stuff. So, no, it obviously hurt them. So they'll be trying to use that hurt this week and try and turn things around.
Yeah, they've a big night ahead of them, so they have, and they've a cup game to come as well at the weekend, actually, on Sunday. And if we maybe think back to last year, Derry went out of Europe, and then the following Sunday then they went out at the hands of St Pat's, and the cup wasn't on a penalty shootout. So experience of the cup and Europe together haven't been good for Derry City, but they are two major games, and Pat's will prove a formidable task on Sunday at the Brandywell, and an evening kickoff in the cup as well.
Oh, it will. Look, Pat's will be putting a lot of eggs into one basket now with the cup for the rest of the season, because obviously they're not on the running for the league. So Derry obviously are juggling on three fronts between the league, Europe and the cup. And as you've seen last season, as you said, no, your season can turn around very quick at this stage when you're going for a lot of trophies, and then next thing you're within a space of a few days you could be out of two of them. It's hard to adjust, it's hard to come back from that. But look, again, at the same time, Derry could go one tonight, one on Sunday, and then you're talking about having a real great run on for them as well.
Yeah. You know? Well, what about your own cup task? It's on Friday night at the RSC ground. It's a bit of a trek for you, Gavin. You're heading down tomorrow to Waterford. Obviously, your season is different from that of the League of Ireland. You haven't really had much time to prepare for this. So when I ask you, what's preparations been like? What's the reality of the preparation, Gavin, for Coghill ahead of a game like this?
Look, the reality is there's little to no preparation. We've had three get-togethers. We were off for the last 6-7 weeks. Players needed a break, needed to recover, needed to recuperate. We've played a couple of friendlies in the last week, but again, getting the full squad together has been difficult. Don't get me wrong, it's brilliant to get to this stage of a competition. It's brilliant, and it'll be a great experience to play in a team like Waterford for us. It's just the timing of it for amateur clubs is just next to near impossible to lend itself to showing your true colours and to even getting results. It's very, very difficult to achieve.
Was it a group decision, Gavin, or was it just by yourself and the management that you brought them back at the time that you did, that maybe you could have taken them back maybe a week, two, maybe 3 weeks earlier than what you did to give them maybe half a chance?
It was a management decision more than anything. Look, we've had a very busy schedule last season, a lot of highs, and sometimes you need to step away from that and need a break. Yourself and the players need a break from it. Thankfully, over the last few years, we've had great runs, and we've got to the stage of the FA Cup now, you know, 4 seasons in a row. So we have been back very early. We just made the decision. There's a bigger picture there for us. Look, we're obviously not going to win the FA Senior Cup. We obviously wanted to get a good draw on it and play a senior team or a Premier Division team, which we have. Unfortunately, it's away from home. But we made the decision not to come back, not to be too much in it, and pre-season to be sort of spread out so players can do their own thing and have their holidays and stuff like that and just have a break from each other. And I think in the long run, it'll help us. Because you can't play all year round, you can't expect the players to commit to training and playing all year round. So something had to give, and obviously with this competition, it's probably, although it's a big day out, it's probably the least important on our calendar, to be honest.
Yeah, well, what is the bigger picture then for Coghill as you look into a new season? Listen, Gavin, you've won just about nearly everything there was to win last year, including the FAI Junior Cup. What about this season?
Yeah. Well, obviously, it's similar to last season. We want to improve and we want to get better every season, which I'm hoping we will. We've just got the fixture today, actually, for the final of the Tom Hand Cup, which is on the 10th of August against Glebe North, the last senior league team. So that's the one that's intermediate against the one that's a junior, obviously, junior cup. So it'd be obviously nice to go and win that and say, look, you're the best amateur team in the country, or supposedly. You know, that would be a nice one. The one there's then a trophy then between the winners of the Irish FA Junior Cup and ourselves. That's coming up in the next couple of months as well. So there are two trophies that we've never been involved in, two won. So, like, again, we would like to try and get them won as well. And obviously, I'm back to back to the league and stuff like that, again, trying to keep that show, that level of consistency that we've had over the years, again, trying to improve, bringing a couple of players in and back in and improving the squad and stuff like that. That's sort of the aim again.
Yeah. How many additions have you had in the close season, Gavin? Obviously, you're trying to build a squad and you're going to make signings. Yeah. How many have you brought in so far?
So I've brought Stephen Duffy and Finn McClure back into the squad. They were with us for a few years before, and Finn went and tried his hand at the Institute last season. Done quite well at the start of the season. A few injuries the second half sort of curtailed his development. So, look, he's back. Stephen Duffy, who's a great footballer and done brilliantly for us over the years, he went to Maiden City just to try and stay in intermediate football once we were dropped out of it last year. Understandable, but he's missed it. He's missed it, been about the place, and he couldn't wait to come back. So he's back, and we have Damien Duffy, who's signed from Derrickview. Young lad locally, he was on training with us last year and decided to go to Derrickview instead of coming to us just to try to sell at senior football. Just didn't work out for him, but look, a lot of qualities and a lot of ability, and a player that I had my eye on for a while. So I'm hoping he adds to the squad as well, and he's something different to what we have. The young lad, Josh Clifford, will be in the squad tomorrow night. He's only 16. He played in our under-18 team this summer. So he's got a bit about him as well. He's done really well in pre-season. And then, obviously, we've retained everybody at the minute from last year. Jason Breslin is going to Canada in August, so we're going to lose him. So other than that, we're happy enough with what we have.
Yeah. And do you still hold on to the thought of, at some stage in the future, that another level of football might be available to Coghill Celtic?
Yeah, I think so. I think you have to. I think the squad of players and the way we go about things sort of proves that we want that next level of football. The players, the committee, the club itself. If a tier 3 becomes available in the next year, year and a half, I think we would have to seriously look at it and seriously give it a go anyway, you know. But look, a lot can change in a year and 2 years' time, so it's at this point until it happens, we're only speculating. But you obviously want to push on. Like, it'd be nice to have won the initial league last year and got promoted to an intermediate league and maybe done well in that and have another promotion. You know, that's ideally what you want in football, but it's not there at the minute, you know.
Yeah. Just back to your game then on Friday night, Gavin, yep. Away to Waterford FC. Listen, Waterford could go into this game. They can make a raft of changes, which could give you a chance in this tie. What do you hope to get out of it?
Look, it'll be a run out. It'll be they're going to dominate the ball. They're a good footballing team. I've watched them now 3 times in the last few weeks. They're one of the farm teams in the country. They're a full time club. They will have aspirations of winning this FA Cup. You know, so like. They probably, you'd expect them to make 5 or 6 changes and still win the game easy enough. Again, because of the time of the year and the calendar and all that, it gives them a massive plus in terms of our fitness levels won't be near where they need to be. Preparation won't be right. But regardless of that, they're expected to win this game convincingly. And we're sort of we're given a free one. If we do well, we might get a moral victory out of it. Am I expecting to get a result? Probably not. But look, you never know.
Yeah. I always use the FA Cup, the love affair with the smaller clubs in the FA Cup in England, and there's always a big story. It'd be nice if Coghill Celtic was the big story come Saturday, wouldn't it?
Oh, it'd be unbelievable. I think most amateur managers would tell you it's probably next to near impossible. Like, we played Bray at this stage last year, and we were in good enough shape. We had a full squad compared to tomorrow night going into it, and they just had a bit too much for us. But I do believe if we were playing a first division club when we're 8 or 9 weeks ago as such, I think we could give them everything they want. I think they'd be really tested. I think going into the Premier and the full-time clubs is probably a step too far. And the fact that you're totally out of season sort of makes it next to impossible. They create the shocks that the FA Cup do create in England. I think it's nearly impossible in the FAI Cup here at the minute, you know.
Yeah. Let's move on to Fun Harps. I don't know if they came back down the road or they decided to stay in Cork all week because they were Turner's Cross last weekend for the league, and they're back there this weekend again. How much would Darren Murphy's side have learned about Cork last week that could maybe give them a wee edge in the game on Saturday evening?
But by all accounts, they've done quite well. It was a wonder goal that won the game. The one thing about Harps this season, and compliments to Darren and the management staff, they've become very difficult to beat, which they weren't last season. They're getting no real hammerings or stuff like that. They're staying on the coattails of the playoffs and stuff, which is brilliant with the depth of squad they have. It's a difficult task. Cork, I think, are well ahead of everybody else in the league. And again, they probably have aspirations of putting a bit of a cup run together because they have that cushion within the league. You know, so it's a difficult one for the players and Harps this year with the finance and stuff the way it is. You know, they're travelling up and down to these games on the one day and playing the match. That's a big ask for the players. To do it twice in a week is difficult, but in fairness to them, they're doing it. They're not complaining about it, and they're doing really well. But like I would suspect that Cork probably have too much for them again this week.
Yeah, but the other side of that is if they can pull off a decent result down there, a cup run would be nice for Donegal supporters and for the Harps supporters.
Oh, it would. It certainly would. I think it's a few years ago now since Harps got the semi-finals where they played Pats, maybe 7 or 8 years ago. So it would be nice, and it would give the club a good boost. And obviously, financially, if they get a few home ties against some of the bigger opposition, it would be a help as well. And they can always dream of that, but like at the minute, Harps, suppose, the priority is staying in the playoffs and trying to get the playoffs and possibly getting close to promotion, I would say, as much as anything.
Yeah, just finally then, I suppose the two standout ties in the cup in this round are on Friday night with Bohemians taking on Shamrock Rovers and Drogheda United up against Dundalk. We've already mentioned Derry Pats, which is a huge game as well. But these two matches on Friday night, two very interesting ties, Gavin.
Yeah. Shamrock Rovers, Bowes, obviously a big derby. The Shamrock Rovers have gone on a real high from Wednesday night when they came back and won that tie. And obviously the other team missing a penalty in the 90th minute. Sort of, it's a huge lift, and it's a great lift for the league in general that Shamrock Rovers got through. I think it guarantees them another minimum six games in Europe, which is huge. So again, they will be going all out for the FAI Cup because I think they're probably too far away from Shamrock Rovers and are from Shelburne and Derry at the minute. So that'll be a big one, obviously, Bowes again in the Cup. And there's some very interesting ties, and there's a lot of amateur teams playing each other as well. So there could be a good route for a couple of these clubs right through to the latter stages if they get through this weekend, you know.
Yeah, they certainly could. All right then, Gavin, that's it. Thanks for joining us on the Score programme tonight. And all we can do is wish you and the guys at Cockhill all the best of luck in Waterford tomorrow evening.
No bother, Ashton. Thanks very much.
A long trip for the guys, of course, on Friday night as they leave tomorrow, head to Waterford for the cup game, play it tomorrow night, turn around and head back down the road. So good luck to the Cockhill men tomorrow. Cork City are taking on Fun Harps, as we know. We talked about it in that piece. We will have updates from the game. 5 o'clock's the kickoff. Trevor Welch will be the man on duty for Highland Radio Sport. I'll have updates as from the 5 o'clock kickoff there on Saturday. Now, the Republic of Ireland's hopes of making the semi-finals of the Women's Under 19 Championships, that's the European Championships, suffered a blow this afternoon. They did lead against Germany, but they fell to a 2-1 defeat. Annie Shones, Jodie Lockery played the full game for the Irish, while her sister Kerry was an unused substitute. The girls in green, who drew their opening game with Spain, finished their group series with a crunch tie against the Netherlands on Sunday. Gaelic games-wise, Sean Herson will referee next weekend's All-Ireland Football Final clash of Armagh and Galway. The Tyrone official was the man in the middle 2 years ago when Galway were beaten by Kerry in the decider. Herson also refereed this year's All-Ireland group phase clash between Armagh and Galway, which ended in a draw. The Donegal All County Leagues are coming to a conclusion this weekend. Finals taking place on Saturday, We'll have coverage from the O'Donnell Park and Letterkenny from the Division 1 decider as Niamh Connell take on Gweedore. Pádraig Colfrey will be on duty there. 4:30 is the start time. Niamh Connell against McCools is the Division 1B final, and that gets underway at the earlier time at 2 o'clock. The Division 3 final in Burt at 4 is Carndonagh against St Mary's Convoy, and the 3B decider, which starts at 1, will see Carndonagh up against Niamh Breed. And then on Saturday evening in McCool Park in Ballybuffet, Four Masters play Buncrana in the Division 2 final at 8 o'clock. And the Division 2B decider is Four Masters against Termon at 6:15. Two matches early on Sunday, relegation playoffs in Glenties, Airua take on Termon. Whoever wins there will be playing Division 1 football next season, while Clohanilly are taking on Niamh Breed and Glenfinn. Whoever wins that tie will be in Division 2 next season. Both of those games start on Sunday at 12 noon. Before we go for a break, just focusing in on athletics, and there was a number of athletes from the Northwest in action today at the European Under 18 Championships in Slovakia. Keelan McFadden of Cranford ran in the heats of the 1500 metres at around 6 o'clock Irish time. Keelan finished in ninth position in his heat, and he didn't make it out of the heat to qualify for the semi-finals, but no doubt he will be back in big competition again soon. Earlier in the day, Derry's Connor Kelly ran 48.01 to qualify into the semi-finals of the 400 metres tomorrow. He won his heat in that time with a superb run. And Kiva Gallen of Lifford Strabane was throwing in the hammer this morning. 58.83 metres for Kiva, just missing out on a place in the top 12 and a place in the final. Ethan Dewhurst of Tyrconnell is also in action tomorrow. Friday he will run in the heats of the 400 metre hurdles in Slovakia. Okay, time for a quick commercial break. Still to come on the programme, we'll be going live to the Brandywell to set the scene and get the feel around the Ryan McBride Brandywell Stadium for Derry's European match, where they trail by 2-0. Plus, in our Olympic countdown, we'll speak to Kelly McGrory and we'll be talking superbikes with Richard Kerr, all after these.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. From rebounders to goalposts, find everything you need to play your best at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Welcome back to the Score programme. Shane Lowry continues to lead the Open Championship. He's three left to play of his opening round. He sits on 4 under, but he's now joined on that score by Daniel Brown, who still has 7 to play. They're out in front by 1. Justin Thomas is in third. The American, who is the leader in the clubhouse, is at 3 under. Out in the course is Lowry and Brown, who lead by 1. Now, time to continue our Olympic countdown. Tyrconnell AC's Kelly McGrory is going to a first Olympic Games with the Irish relay squad. The Limerick-based sprinter has been selected as part of the mixed 4x400 metres and women 4x400 metre teams. Kelly is hopeful that she may get some track time in Paris, but it depends on the schedule of the other team members in their individual events. Now, ahead of the game, Kelly has been running well, setting several personal bests and Donegal records in venues like Milan, Brussels and in Rome at the European Championships. Well, she joined me earlier today where she was telling me that she's very much looking forward to experience an Olympic Games for the very first time. Kelly, thanks for joining us today. It's good to speak to you.
Thanks a million for having me. Yeah, it's great to be on.
Yeah, delighted to have you on. And we're speaking now just a few days out from you head away to Paris. How excited are you about heading to your first Olympic Games?
Even hearing you saying that, it's just, it's mental, really. Like, the whole thing just feels surreal. Obviously, athletics is quite predictable in a way, and in terms of the selection, like, you know, it's very black and white sport. Your times get you selected. So, like, in the last few months, I knew that it was a possibility that I could be selected just with the times I had been running. But, yeah, I suppose actually getting the selection email, and you really don't know, like, and there's a lot of depth in the women's fours at the minute, so you don't know what way the selections will go in the end, but yeah, it's just amazing.
Yeah, but you were confident that you would get the place. Obviously, you were involved in the Worlds last year and your times have been improving over the last number of months, so was there an anxious wait for you, or was it a case that you were confident that you were going to get a place in the squad?
No, it was an anxious wait. Like, I was confident that I'd be within the mix. Like, you know, they have 7 girls selected and I was confident that I'd be there, thereabouts. But, like, you don't know. And my last race didn't go to plan. So it was a good bit off my season best. I was sick coming into it. So, like, you don't know, will they take those things into consideration and write you off? Or, you know, I ran a big PB this year, so that kind of has stood to me and has put me well in the mix. Yeah. So, yeah, it was definitely an anxious wait. Yeah.
But the three or four races before the last one, Kelly, you had several PBs. You set Donegal records, Milan, Brussels and Rome at the European. So the form is certainly there if you take away the last race.
Yeah, no, it is. And I've been feeling like really good this year, you know, in competitions. Once I got back into training, I had a bit of an injury at the start of the year. But once I came over that, I felt, you know, I knew that there was going to be close to PBs or big PBs coming because things just had been going well. And I put down a good winter as well. And, you know, I was running good times and stuff at that time of the year. So usually when you have a good winter behind you, like, it's a good sign of the year ahead.
Yeah. You're based, of course, in Limerick. What's the training like at the moment now as you prepare for the games? What's the schedule like?
Yeah, so I'm based in Limerick and I'm coached by husband and wife, Haley and Drew Harrison, and like, hats off to them when it comes to the training program. We just rock up and Haley and Drew do all the thinking for us. So the next few weeks, I suppose, for the last 10 days, we've kind of gone back into a heavier block of training, if you want to call it that. And then I'm actually racing again this weekend on Saturday before we travel to Paris, excuse me. So then I'll start tapering as of today now and just try to sharpen up, I suppose, for Saturday. And then it's kind of the next 2 weeks then is just going to be sharpening, maybe one or two tough sessions in the bank then. But yeah, we're really getting into the sharpening part of the year now.
Yeah. Kelly, what's your involvement going to be in Paris, or is it a case that you're just waiting to see on the schedule? Because I know, talking to Teresa McDade, who's the team manager for the Olympics, for the athletics end of things, your place in the squad and your place on the track, actually competing on the track, could be dictated by what happens in the other races in the schedule.
Yeah, 100%. Like, as I said before, we have a panel of seven. Obviously, only four girls get to run. But with the way the program is, we have three of our girls in the individual 400, which is ridiculous. You know, it's unbelievable. And our 400 finals are on the same day as our women's 4x4 heats. So, like, anything can happen. And athletes do need to prioritize their own agenda as well, to some extent. So, you know, we don't know. People need to do what suits them best, and then we'll see kind of who we have available for that first round. So yeah, like, I don't know at what, you know, what point I'd be sitting within the mix, but that's something I suppose we'll find out in the days leading up to the race. And the actual strike four probably wouldn't be called until two days out from the race, so we just have to wait and see.
Yeah. Obviously very exciting, very anxious. There'll be a lot of anticipation. You're waiting to see what the call is going to be, but there's no doubt that everybody back home here will be fully cheering on Kelly. And you speak about the group, and I know reading articles as well and listening to those involved in both the mixed and the women's relays, they always refer to the group that it's not just for the four that's on the track at that time. It's always referred to as the group. And you guys, even though you may not be one of the four, you still have a very, very key role in the group.
Yeah, like, we always say that, and it is so true, because, like, you could have four, but, like, four is not going to get you. You know, four didn't get us to where we are today with either teams. Like, you need the depth there, because if one person drops or if something goes wrong, which in our sport is so common with injury and, you know, even having other events and stuff like that, you need to have the depth there to replace that. And that's why Ireland are doing so well at the minute. It's because we have the depth. It's not just because we have a good four. We have a good 5, 6, 7, 8. So, like, we can change in and out. We can, you know, save people for finals and stuff like that. We kind of have that luxury now. So it is so important. And I'm sure there's people even who haven't been selected as well that are gutted, and they played a part in getting it here as well. So, they're very important, for sure.
I suppose part of the mix as well, Kelly, is how high performance has developed over the last number of years. And when you put that in to the talent pool that we currently have for the sprinters and those that are involved in relays, we're starting to see the benefits of it. There was the Worlds obviously last year where we got to the final. You were involved in that, and then that has led obviously to medals at European level as well. So things are just clicking at the right time for the environment that you're in.
Yeah, it definitely is. Like, you know, nationally, a lot of the athletes that I suppose I've competed with and against up through the years are just running out of their skin. Like, and people are performing really well. And it's not just like we're performing really well for Irish athletics. Like, we're performing really well on a European and world scale too. Like, the times that people are producing, the times that the relay teams are producing are up there with the best in the world, like, which is nuts for such a small country. But yeah, it's hard to even put a reason to it. Like, why has it come on so much? But I suppose it's come at the perfect time, and like, to do it at this stage in the Olympic cycle is like perfect, really.
Yeah. Thomas Barr didn't get his selection for his individual event, but he is part of the mixed relay. And Andy learned this during the week, so did Kelly, that yourself and Thomas are in a relationship. You compete on the track together, but also away from the track. And I suppose, how's that going at the moment, and how beneficial is it for you as well as an athlete that you have somebody to lean on there in all aspects of life, not just on the track?
Yeah, I suppose Thomas, he always jokes and calls me his better half. I'll call him my better half. But yeah, obviously he was disappointed not to have made the selection in the hurdles, and he was so close. He, you know, like in the lead up to the cutoff, he was 0.09 off the auto qualifying time, which is just so, so close in a 400 hurdles. And then to miss out on it by two spots, the 400 hurdles is just such a difficult event at the minute, in the men's and the women's actually. You know, it's just stacked. So it's a bit ridiculous. The times he was running that wouldn't qualify you for an Olympics, I think in any other year definitely would have. But he's really positive about it, to be honest, and he's really looking forward to just being there for the relay now, and he can focus fully in on that. So yeah, I suppose it's bittersweet, but he's definitely really looking forward to it now, and he's parked all any of the disappointment that he had. But yeah, I think for both of us, like, it's really exciting to have each other going to the Olympics together. Like, is, you know, it's something we wouldn't even have dreamed of, but it's definitely nice to have that support on and off the track. Like, we both fully understand what we're going through, whether it be, you know, just training not going well, or the stress of competition, the stress of injury. And Thomas is kind of, he's been in the game a lot longer than me at that high performance level, so he knows it really well, and he's always a very good source of advice for me, and actually for anybody in the training group. A lot of us would end up going to Thomas for advice, like, so. Yeah, it's really cool, and it definitely has its benefits that both of us understand what we're going through.
Yeah, and listen, from a club point of view as well, to Conal AC, Kelly, this is huge for them to have an athlete of their club heading to the Olympic Games, and I'm sure you're in regular contact with back home, and obviously Eamon Harvin and club members. But for you, this is huge, but for them, it's massive as well.
Yeah, it is. And like, I can't thank the club enough. They're so good at supporting me along the way, even if it's just random races at the start of the season. Like, I'll always have a message. I keep in regular contact with a few in the club, and especially with Eamon. And they'll always be checking in, wishing me well. So it's great. Like, and it is great to have that support from your club. Like, it makes it all so much more exciting. Like, you know, sometimes you can get caught up in the kind of stress of it, or just like the journey of it, but then hearing, you know, people from back home saying that they're so excited, or they're so proud, and you know that they'll be tuning in and they'll be watching, like, it makes it so much more special. So yeah, I can't thank them enough. They're a great bunch back there, and they're doing great work in the club as well.
Yeah. Well, now as we look forward to the games, this is special. Obviously, there's major tournaments, Europeans, World Championships. You've been at both, but Olympic Games are special. What are you looking forward to most now as you head to France, head for Paris, Kelly?
Well, that's a good question. I'm just looking forward to getting there, and then, you know, getting stuck into the last few training sessions before the games start. Like, I like getting those last few key sessions in, because I feel like that's when you can actually get excited. You've kind of all the hard work done, and then you just have, it's just a waiting game then. You know, staying kind of in shape then for the last few days, leading in and staying in good form. So yeah, I'm looking forward to getting out to the training camp. I'll be arriving on Sunday, so yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to, stuck into training.
And finally, what would you like to get out of the Olympics? I think I could probably answer that one for you, Kelly, that a place in the four would be nice.
Yeah, I mean, the obvious answer is definitely a place on the four. I think everybody going out there as part of the relay, that would be their ultimate goal. I would be over the moon if that happened. If that doesn't happen, I'm still going to be delighted just being there and being able to cheer the rest of the girls on and be ready if anybody needs a spot filled. But yeah, that would be kind of the icing on the cake for me.
Well, listen, Kelly, many thanks for taking time out from your training to talk to Highland Radio Sport. And all we can do is wish you all the best now with the rest of your training as you head to the Olympic Games. And fingers crossed, hopefully we'll see you on track at some stage in Paris. The best of luck, Kelly.
Thank you so much.
Good to catch up with Kelly McGrory of Tyrconnell AC. She's going to the Olympics as part of the relay squads. That's the latest installment of our Olympic countdown. Tune in this weekend on our sports bulletin as well, our sports shows rather, on Sunday. We'll be hearing from Irish team manager Teresa McDade. She actually headed away today with the Ireland team. And we've also been speaking to John Kelly, the St Johnston native, of course, who is involved in shot putting. He's actually coaching one of their Norwegian athletes, and he's going to Paris as a coach as well. That will be happening this coming Sunday after 5 in the next phase of our Olympic countdown here on Highland. But we're counting down to kickoff time at the Brandywell, the Ryan McBride Brandywell Stadium. Derry City are taking on Bruno Magpies this evening in the second leg of their qualification first round fixture of the Europa League Conference. And Derry, of course, as we know, have to come from 2 goals down if they are going to progress. The game is about to get up and running. Martin Holmes is at the Brandywell for Highland Radio Sport. Another big night for Derry. And they know they have to score in this one. Martin, they have to score 3 times if they're going to go directly through. But they can't concede a goal, particularly early on. They'll need to be focused for this one.
Absolutely, Oisin. You know, you've probably seen a lot of stuff on social media, and I've heard a lot of fans talking. And there's a thing I always talked about in Derry, Ashtown Villa, when Derry lost the Ashtown Villa in the FAI Cup in 91. And I've heard a lot of old hands talking, old supporters comparing what happened to Bruno's to the Ashtown Villa game. It was a game Derry were never expected. They lose, maybe get a draw, but not to come away with a defeat. So massive game here. There's a good crowd at the Brandywell tonight. I think we're in amongst the noisiest part of them. But Derry have a possession away. Patching is a corner on the far side, which he takes quickly, and he gets a 1-2 ball back from Kieran Call. I'll go through the lineup in a second when we get a quick moment here. Kieran Call puts it out, gone for a goal kick. Kieran Call starts tonight along with Michael Duffy. They weren't in the first leg, but everybody else, the other 9, are unchanged from that leg. So quickly, Maher, Call, Mark Conley, Michael Duffy, Hatching, Hooban, Paul McMullen, Ben Doherty, Cameron Dunnigan, Daniel Kelly and Adam O'Reilly are Derry's opening 11, along with, as I mentioned, Call and Michael Duffy. And a lot of expectation on players like Duffy to shine tonight and bring it through. And we're Derry have a big game coming up at the weekend against Pat, so one game at a time, of course, is a mantra here, but tonight is a huge game, as you've said.
Yep. They have to score 3 goals, Martin, and they've done that on regular occasions this season, but European games, there's a different sort of pressure comes with that. Can they do it? Can they get the 3? Is there a feeling around the Brandywell there with the home support as well that they can do this?
Well, there's always an expectation, almost a demand from Derry supporters. Even those that don't come to the games, they expect them to turn up on one. So as I said earlier, a lot of expectation on people like Duffy, Will Patching, one of the creative forces that they have, Cameron Dunnigan as well, another important player for Derry. Hooban has been a goal machine, a great signing by Rory Higgins, Pat Hooban. They'll be looking at him, but you have to create the chances to score. You have to make sure you're watertight at the back. They have an excellent goalkeeper in Brian Maher. always talk of transfer speculation involving him with other clubs showing an interest, but he seems very committed to the Derry City and the cause. But they can score the goals, but they need to score early. You know, some will say it's a two-horse race over 90 minutes, but you don't want to be waiting the 10 minutes to go to try and pull off some massive escape. You want to be going out at half-time 1-2-0 in front. Of course, the referees have a different mindset in European games. We niggly things don't go unchallenged. Cards come out for the simplest of things. So there's a lot of that to be taken into consideration by Rory and his coaching staff, and more importantly, his 11 that start the pitch tonight.
Yep. Just your thoughts on Shelburne's performance tonight, Martin, before we finish up. Winning 3-2 in aggregate, 1-1 away from home against St. Joseph's. Sam Bowen got the goal there. Donegal's Mark Coyle started in the middle of the park again for Shelburne. There was a lot of time added on. There was around 11 minutes added on at the end of the game, so it was a bit nervy at times for Shells towards the end of that tie, but a huge result for them. They're still in Europe.
Great for them, great for the fans. I'm not sure the manager will be too keen on it, because he'll be thinking it could be a bit of a distraction. It's a nice distraction they have, but I've heard again seasoned supporters saying get out of Europe quick, try and win the league, try and focus on the domestic. But there's money to be made. There's competition for places in European games. Players could put themselves in the shop window. I mean, there's a lot of benefits that be playing in Europe. It's more games for fans to come to, but a revenue for the club. Derry did well last year, got through to three rounds of it. So Shelburne, impressive. I mean, Damien Duff's done a great job there. And for the league, you'd hope long may it continue. But a great achievement for any Irish club to progress. It's just where you go next is the next important thing to see who you draw. You want a bit of a glamour tie or a tie where you think, well, we can get through this and get on to another round. So a lot of good stuff coming from Tolka Park.
Okay. Listen, Martin, thanks for joining us. Hopefully Derry will get the result tonight. That's Martin Holmes live from the Ryan McBride Brandywell Stadium. Currently 0-0 there in the opening minutes of that encounter against Bruno Magpies. Derry looking to come from two goals down. Okay, the final piece on the Score programme tonight. Richard Kerr will make his Bennett's British Superbike Championship debut this weekend. The Donegal rider, who won the National Superstock Championship last year, will deputise on the Cheshire Mouldings BMW for Rory Skinner, who continues his recovery from injury. Kerr will line up at Brands Hatch aboard the TAS Racing Prepared M1000RR Superbike, and further rounds will be taken into consideration based on Skinner's full recovery and return to racing. Richard, of course, has been stateside this year in the Moto American Superstock Series, but the 23-year-old is now relishing the opportunity to ride the BMW Superbike this weekend. He joined us in studio earlier today before he headed off to England for Brands Hatch, and he told me that he's looking to make the most of the next few weekends.
Thanks for having me, Oisin.
Exciting weekend ahead for you.
Definitely. It's going to be my first taste of a Superbike. A lot of years of racing now, and I guess the time has come that I've got an opportunity to fill in for Rory Skinner. For those who don't know, he picked up an injury just over a week ago. He had a leg injury, so that's going to see him out for a few rounds until he's fully recovered. So I'm happy that I got the call for possibly the next 2 to 3 rounds of the British Superbike Championship.
Yeah. Obviously, you've had discussions previously with the Cheshire Moulins BMW team and Taz Racing about a possible seat in Superbikes after what happened last year when you won the National Championship. So those conversations in the close season have obviously led to where you are now, Richard.
Yeah, they did, for sure, because like you say, we were in talks, as well as a lot of other riders as well. And Rory, he came straight out of World Championship in 23, so he was obviously the favourite pick from his past experience. But it was it was always said that if they ever had an injury, they would give me the shout, and the time has come. So it fell into our time frame very well, because we just came back from the USA last night for me, actually, and we actually have a 9-week break from between rounds 4 and 5, so it's all worked out very well.
Just before we continue more, obviously, on what's going to happen this weekend at Brands Hatch and what you hope will happen over the next couple of weekends, you decided to go to America when the Superbike ride didn't happen at the end of last year. And as you say, you're four rounds done. So how's America been panning out for you? Because it's a totally different series. It's tracks you don't know. Obviously, there's a lot of learning on it, and it would take time for you to bed into the workings of how they do things in America, how the tracks are running, climate, different things like that. So overall, what's the experience been like?
Overall, definitely it's been one of the best experiences of my life. You know, putting the results aside, obviously I want to go race in the wind, but I'm very happy with the results. You know, we've had a best result of a fourth, and we're always pushing that top six, you know. Considering all the tracks I've gone to, you know, we only get a 25-minute free practice before going into qualifying once. So it's straight away, you know, watching loads of videos before I go there, and then straight out in track, trying to follow someone fast and, you know, learn as much as I can. So it's I think we're doing a good job, considering a lot of the riders have a lot of experience, have been testing, and even whenever I raced in the British Championship, we did a lot of tests, and I rode the tracks for 9 seasons. You know, it was the 9th season we won the championship, so it just shows how long it does take to be able to win races and championships. So to be over there, you know, to already have got a 4th place, you know, and as a best result, then we're not far away, and, you know, everything's just great because you're going to every track, everything's unknown, it's a new track, the new part of the world to see. You know, I think we've already been in 10 states, you know, so over the 4 rounds have been away, so it's been a good journey so far.
And a journey that obviously will continue when you're finished with this Superbike stint that you're going to have now. You talked about all the testing and the years that you had in Britain and how it benefited you. Obviously, you'll be hoping that the track experience that you've had in Brands Hatch previously and over the next couple of rounds will help you when you're on the Superbike. But you are hindered, I suppose, in a way, Richard, that you haven't had any test time on this bike, and you're not actually going to sit on this bike until Friday.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, so I've rode the Honda now. This is my 4th season on the Honda Fireblade, and before that was a Triumph and a KTM. So it's going to be my first time on a BMW machinery. It's a good bike. I have belief in the bike. The team and Rory have been getting real good results this year. They've won a race, and it's Rory's first year in the BMW as well. So they've done a real good job so far. For me, just, I know Brands Hatch well. Last year, I got a 2nd place around it on the stock bike, so it's a track I like. But for the BMW, having, you know, no electronics assist with no traction control, no anti-wheelie, is something that I've never experienced properly. So, and, you know, the bike's being, I guess, a bit more rigid and stuff, and different tyres also to what I've, you know, tyres I've never used before. There's a lot of new things I'm going to be trying, but I'm really very excited for it. It would be nice to, you know, with a short time, it would be nice to get testing in between times, but, you know, with racing during the middle of a season, you know, it's not really possible to do that. And but no, we have like all day Friday, and then we've got qualifying before our races, so we're just going to get as many laps done as we can and understand the bike. And obviously the main thing for me is to get up to speed as quick as I can and just take it as it comes.
Yeah. How much pressure is there then on your shoulders with that all and play come Friday, when you have a certain amount of time and practice sessions to try and get this right, Richard?
I'm not putting any pressure myself. Obviously, being a racer, I want to get the best results possible, especially come the final race on Sunday. But the team, you know, they've made it clear that they're not putting any pressure on me. They understand, you know, we're halfway through the season, almost everyone's up to speed. They just want me to, you know, just obviously, of course, they want me to go as fast as we can. We all want the same results, but they understand that it's the first time for a lot of things. So, you know, this first round, we're just going to take it as it comes. And, you know, the BMW, it might gel very well with me, it might not, but I have a good feeling. You know, I know the bike's a good package, and I have belief in the team and the BMW. So I think, you know, once we just understand it, where the limits are and how hard we can push the thing, I think it'll be very good.
Yeah, this is obviously the top tier in British superbikes, and I suppose the levels that are above this now would be the likes of the World Superbikes and obviously MotoGP. So this is at a serious level for you, Richard, and this is something that you dreamed of as a young man, that you wanted to be competing at this level. And it was difficult to try and get a superbike seat over the last couple of years for you, but now it has happened. It has sort of come out of the blue for you, but it's an opportunity that, that you really, really have to grasp here.
Exactly. You know, this is, you know, my time now to show like what we can do over these next couple of rounds, especially. I mean, you know, for a lot of stock riders, it's difficult to jump to superbike, and hopefully for me, it won't be like that. And so you're right, it's, this could change a lot for down the future, you know, and if the results are good, it'll definitely be, you know, positive, I'm sure.
Okay, well, listen, thanks for coming in, because I know you've got a busy schedule. You're literally home from America, and now you're heading off to England to compete in the superbikes. As we said, a dream of yours. We wish you all the best this weekend.
No, thanks very much, and thank you to everyone at Cheshire Moulders BMW for this opportunity.
So then, the best of luck to Richard Kerr off to Brands Hatch on the superbikes this coming weekend. Let's go back to the football. Derry City against Bruno Magpies at the Ryan McBride Brandywell Stadium. It's still scoreless there. Derry, of course, having to come from 2-0 down. Linfield are 1-0 up in their match against Stamman. And earlier today, Shelburne progressed, finishing up 1-1 with St Joseph's and Gibraltar. They go through 3-2 on aggregate. And in the Gulf, the latest from round one of the Open Championship at Troon. The first round coming to a close. Shane Lowry still has one hole actually left to play. He's moved on to 17 holes. He sits at 4 under. He's tied at the top with Daniel Brown at England, also on 4 under as well. But Brown still has 5 holes remaining. Justin Thomas sits at 3 under. He is the leader in the clubhouse. And then there's a host of players all sitting on 2 under, including the likes of Justin Rose and Xander Schauffele. While further on down, Brooks Koepka, he is at 1 under, and the world number one, Scottie Scheffler, is at 1 under. But Rory McIlroy's had a horrible day, 7 over, and he will struggle to make the cut. That is it from the Score programme for tonight. Hope you enjoyed the show. If you missed any of it, it will be available in the sports section of our website, highlandradio.com. So what's left of your Thursday? Have a good one and have a very good evening.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. From rebounders to goalposts, find everything you need to play your best at michaelmurphysports.ie.